teeth that look filed, coming to an unnatural point. The beasts of Mogador come off the plains close behind, the same cold look in their eyes. Some of them are as big as houses, razor teeth showing, roaring so loud that it hurts my ears.
We got careless, John. That is how we were defeated so easily, he says.
I know now that the voice I'm hearing is Henri's, but he is nowhere to be seen, and I can't take my eyes off the killing and the destruction below me to look for him. People are running everywhere, fighting back. As many Mogadorians as Lorik are being killed, but the Lorik are losing the battle against the beasts, which are killing our people by the dozens, breathing fire, gnashing teeth, viciously swinging arms and tails. Time is speeding along, going much faster than normal. How much has passed? An hour? Two? The guard lead the fight, their legacies on full display. Some are flying, some able to run so fast that they become a blur, and some disappear entirely. Lasers shoot from hands. Bodies become engulfed in flames. Storm clouds are brewed, coupled with harsh winds above those able to control the weather. But they are still losing. They are outnumbered 500-1. Their powers are not enough.
Our guard had dropped. The Mogadorians had planned well, picking that exact moment when they knew we were at our most vulnerable, when the planet's elders were gone. Pithecus Lor, the greatest of them, their leader, had assembled them before the attack. Nobody knows what happened to them, or where they went, or if they are even still alive. Perhaps the Mogadorians took them out first, and once the elders were out of the way, that is when they attacked. All we really know is that there was a column of shimmering white light that shot into the sky, as far as anyone could see on the day the elders assembled. It lasted the entire day, then vanished. We, as a people, should have recognized it as a sign that something was amiss, but we didn't. We have no one to blame but ourselves for what happened. We were lucky to get anyone off the planet, much less 9 young guard who might someday continue the fight and keep our race alive.
Off in the distance, a ship shoots high and fast into the air, a blue stream following behind it. I watch it from my vantage point in the sky until it disappears. There is something familiar about it. And then it dawns on me. I am in that ship, and Henri is too. It's the ship carrying us to Earth. The Lorik must have known they were beaten. Why else would they send us away? Useless slaughter. That is how it all looks to me. I land on the ground and walk through a ball of fire. Rage sweeps through me. Men and women are dying. Guard and Sapan, along with defenseless children. How can this be tolerated? How can the hearts of the Mogadorians be so hardened as to do all this? And why was I spared? I lunge at a nearby soldier, but go straight through him and fall down. Everything I am witnessing has already happened. I am a spectator of our own demise, and there's nothing I can do. I turn around and face a beast that must be 40 feet tall, broad-shouldered, with red eyes and horns 20 feet in length. Drool falls from its long, sharp teeth. It lets out a roar, and then lunges. It passes through me, but takes out dozens of Lorik around me. Just like that, every one of them gone. And the beast keeps going, taking out more Lorik. Through the scene of destruction, I hear a scratching noise, something separate from the carnage on Lorien. I am drifting away, or drifting back. 2 hands press down upon my shoulders. My eyes snap open, and I'm back in our home in Ohio. My arms are dangling over the coffee table. Inches below them are two cauldrons of fire, and both of my hands and wrists are completely submerged in the flames. I don't feel the effects at all. Henri stands over me. The scratching I heard a minute ago is coming from the front porch. "What is that?" I whisper, sitting up.
"I don't know," he says.
We are both silent, straining to listen. Three more scratches at the door. Henri looks down at me.
"There's somebody out there," he says.
I look at the clock on the wall. Nearly an hour has passed. I'm sweating, out of breath, unsettled by the scenes of slaughter I just witnessed. For the first time in my life, I truly understand what happened on Lorien. Before tonight, the events were just part of another story, not all that different from the many I have read in books. But now, I have seen the blood, the tears, the dead. I have seen the destruction. It's a part of who I am. Outside, darkness has set in. Three more scratches at the door, a low groan. We both jump. I immediately think of the low groans I heard coming from the beasts. Henri rushes into the kitchen and grabs a knife from the drawer beside the sink.
"It's behind the couch."
"What? Why?"
"Because I said so."
"You think that little knife is going to take down a Mogadorian?"
"If I hit them straight in the heart, it will. Now get down."
I scramble off the coffee table and crouch behind the sofa. The two cauldrons of fire are still going, faint visions of Lorien still moving through my mind. An impatient growl comes from the other side of the front door. There is no mistaking that somebody, or something, is out there. My heart races.
"Keep down,"
Henri says. I lift my head so that I can peer over the back of the couch. All that blood, I think. Surely, they knew they were outmatched. But they fought to the end anyway, dying to save each other, dying to save Lorien. Henri grips the knife tightly. He slowly reaches for the brass knob. Anger sweeps through me. I hope it is one of them. Let a Mogadorian come through that door, he'll meet his match. There's no way I'm staying behind this couch. I reach over and grab one of the cauldrons, thrust my hand into it, and pull out a burning piece of wood with a pointed end. It's cool to the touch, but the fire burns on, sweeping over and around my hand. I hold the piece of wood like a dagger. Let them come, I think. There will be no more running. Henri looks over at me, takes a deep breath, and rips the front door open. Chapter 9. Every muscle in my body is flexed, everything tense. Henri jumps through the doorway, and I am ready to follow. I can feel the thud, thud, thud in my chest. My fingers are white-knuckled around the piece of wood still burning. A gust of wind bursts through the door, and the fire dances in my hand and crawls up my wrist. No one is there. All at once, Henri's body relaxes, and he chuckles, looking down at his feet. There, looking up at Henri through the tops of his eyes, is the same beagle I saw yesterday at school. The dog wags his tail and paws at the ground. Henri reaches down and pets him. Then the dog pushes past and trots into the house with his tongue dangling. "What's he doing here?" I ask.
"You know this dog?"
"I saw him at school. He was following me around yesterday after you dropped me off." I put the piece of wood back and wipe my hands on my jeans, leaving a trail of black ash down the front. The dog sits at my feet and looks up expectantly, his tail thumping against the hardwood floor. I sit on the couch and watch both fires burn. Now that the excitement of the situation is over, my mind goes back to what I just saw in my vision. I can still hear the screams in my ears, still see the way the blood shimmered in the grass in the moonlight, still see the bodies in fallen trees, the red glow in the eyes of the beasts of Mogadore.